Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
Welcome to Stumps for another week. We've been building up to the start of the International Men's Summer. We've had plenty of cricket to keep us entertained through the last month, or the first month of Stumps. Plenty of domestic cricket, WBBL, which is just in full flight at the moment and taking the interest of many cricket fans around the country. But now we wait only 24 hours before the start of the men's international summer. It begins with the T20s in Adelaide tomorrow, Australia against Sri Lanka. Bryce McGain is with me here once more for another edition of Stumps. Hello, Bryce.
Hello, Jordan, and good afternoon to you and our listeners. Look, it's been an action-packed domestic, a month, I suppose, of cricket. There's plenty happening. Plenty of average weather in Melbourne as well. So the cricket is getting blown away with covers and all that sort of stuff today. But what we're seeing now is we're just on the cusp of the international part, outroll the Australian T20 team. And it's a really important series coming up because it is the first opportunity for 14 players to go and put their they're the first group to be able to put their names up in front of the selectors as a T20 World Cup going into next year. It's an exciting time. These players know that it's a chance to give themselves the first opportunity.
Absolutely. One man who is over there in Adelaide covering it for The Age is sports reporter Dan Cherney, who joins us right off the top of the program here on Stumps. Hello, Dan. How are you? How's Adelaide?
Yeah, well, thanks. Good to be with you, Bryce and Jordan. Yeah, no, it's going well here in Adelaide.
How's the weather there, Dan? Because it's a bit average. They've sent over some average weather they might have had yesterday. It's a bit average in Melbourne today. How's it looking there? And more importantly, how's it going to shape up for tomorrow's T20 international game?
There was a bit of rain here yesterday, but it's been fine today. Not overly hot. Not sort of not the kind of conditions you generally associate with international cricket in Adelaide. But it's 18 degrees as we sit, and similar conditions tomorrow. So sort of pretty mild, nothing too out of the ordinary, so there shouldn't be any issues tomorrow. There's a tiny chance of rain, but I imagine we'll get a full game ahead.
Good signs. And what were the Australians up to today in preparation for their game tomorrow?
They are training this morning, or from 10 till about 1. It was another pretty intense session for those who were participating. It was an optional session. Glenn Maxwell, for instance, was one who didn't train, but Aaron Finch, who had been under a bit of an injury cloud, he had a fair hit out from the front line quicks with Stark, Cummins and Stanlake all bearing down on him, and he got through all seemingly with flying colours because he's been cleared to play. He's a 99% chance to go play tomorrow. He's feeling a lot better. He's fielding. He's moving reasonably well in fielding drills as well. So all the talk about Australia potentially needing a new captain for this game looks like it's not going to materialise.
Dan, I'll ask you the same question about the Sri Lankans. How are they training today? I heard it was a bit of a lockdown situation with them.
Yes, they were keeping initially. In fact, they weren't even going to have to put anyone up to the media today. They'd actually come without a media manager. They've just got a team manager. They were initially Lasith Malinga, the captain, wasn't even going to speak. He did end up talking for about 5 minutes at a press conference. They had. It didn't look like they were doing anything particularly dramatic, but they just nevertheless didn't want any cameras to take any photos of them training. They were just in the nets and out on the ground. We could have a look from where we were stationed in the press box, but I don't know, maybe some state secrets there. It's a bit weird because it's not so you're sort of changing. I wouldn't have thought there'd be that much to hide from a net session, but perhaps there's some sort of secret plan that they're going to unleash.
Interesting way to prepare and I guess promote the game for tomorrow. The Australian team's had a change. Andrew Tyre's out, elbow injury a few days back. And he's going. Unfortunately, got to go and see a Sydney specialist to get over that. Sean Abbott comes into the side. Surprise for you, Dan?
Yeah, a little bit. Sean Abbott hasn't played international cricket for Australia in 5 years. Not to say that he's hasn't been thereabouts at all. His BBL form has been reasonable. He was in England as part of the Australia A white ball setup earlier this year. So he's clearly hadn't been too far off the mark. And the Australian selectors have shown in the past that they like what he offers. I was a bit surprised that they didn't bring in maybe a Jai Richardson or someone like that to replace Ty. But clearly they want to have a look at Abbott in the next little while. And this whole series really is coming up. Australia play a lot of T20 cricket now in the lead up to next year's T20 World Cup on Australian soil. So perhaps they want to take a look at Abbott and be considering him for as one of the options for that series. It's unfortunate for Andrew Ty, AJ Ty, who has been thereabouts in Australia's T20 setup for quite some time. Looks like he's going to miss all of the series and the coming series against Pakistan, and it can be a fair way back from there. We wait to see how bad the injury is, but hopefully he's back for the Big Bash and can sort of push his case ahead of some more T20 international next year.
Daniel, as you said, Sean Abbott's his domestic form, his BBL form has generally been pretty good over the last couple of years. I know they're, as you said, there are other candidates for a spot as an Australian fast bowler in the setup, but maybe could you look at this as this being an overdue call-up for Sean Abbott again into the T20 system?
Perhaps. I think he's been he's sort of been one of those up and down sort of bowlers. He's had some good seasons and then some not too flash seasons. There's a period where he's been used a lot in the late overs and couldn't quite seem to get the job done. So I think, look, there's probably an argument for that, but I don't think his numbers were sort of so compelling or his form was so compelling that it was really overdue. I don't think he was absolutely banging the door down. How could they not pick him? But nevertheless, they could do worse. So I don't think it's... I think it's probably a fair selection without being sort of... without being a really unreasonable one either way, if that makes sense.
And Steve Smith comes into the lineup. He hasn't played T20 cricket in a long, long time for Australia. Probably the type of series that he's in the past had a bit of a rest from. How's he shaping up?
Yeah, you're right, Bryce. He hasn't played T20 international for Australia in almost 4 years, since the last T20 World Cup in March, 3.5 years, March 2016. And his 2020 form has been, well, historically, he's not been a great 2020 player. He was actually dropped from the Rajasthan team earlier this year. So he's not, he's not a power hitter. He's not the kind of guy that you necessarily associate with T20 cricket. Not to say he can't score runs reasonably quickly, but he's not, like a Warner or a Finch. And he acknowledges much himself yesterday. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, he's obviously answered pretty much every question whenever he's been challenged in international cricket to this point. So it'd be brave to really to bet against him being able to perform. But it is going to be a challenge for him because it's not he's really a rotator of the strike and not someone who probably hits it around 120 in T20 cricket, which is okay if you have maybe one guy like that in the team. But you do wonder whether there could theoretically be a better option. So it's going to be very interesting to see. As I said, Steve Smith, he wouldn't bet against him.
As you say, that is going to be interesting because, look, most T20 sides, and I suppose it's the domestic teams that we're seeing a lot of these strategies come from, but what they're finding, the first six overs are so critical in setting up a big target that they just want to keep going. So they got guys who can clear the ropes and clear the 30-yard circle, I suppose, and really attack the boundaries in those first six overs. So maybe, as you say, maybe that isn't the role for Steve Smith. He might find himself batting at sort of five or six, letting those hitters really go after it early and then set up the rotation to strike and the fast running between the wickets and hitting to 360 degrees. So I think Australia, we're going to see a lot out of these series, as much as we say, oh, it's a long time to the World Cup, but we're going to see the Australian strategy. And to be honest, in the past, it hasn't been that compelling, I must say. Danny, are you looking forward to that as well, just how they set up and just strategically what they're going to do different to maybe what they have done in the past?
Oh, definitely, Bryce. I mean, you look at the... it's interesting because Australia haven't... they just haven't picked their best T20 team really ever. It's always been an afterthought around the World Cup, not so much, but for most of the four-year cycle, it's an afterthought.
Yeah, I agree.
It's tacked on to the end of tours. It's sort of, at times they've picked, you know, genuine B teams, because a couple of times the test team's been off in India, and they've literally picked B teams to play on home soil while the test squad's over in India. That happened a couple of years ago when we saw a lot of BBL guys get a go. It was like a BBL All-Stars. So
yeah.
For the top guns to actually be playing is unusual. And this is really going to be the first time when they're going to get a really sustained run of games leading into a World Cup. I mean, for the first time, seems like a very calculated, perhaps because it's on home soil, perhaps there's just not as much, there aren't as many marquee test series over the next 12 months. Obviously, we've just had a 50-over World Cup, so the 50-over game isn't a huge priority in the next 12 months, but even though the bilateral series is sort of down to three games now. So T20 is a real priority here, and it will be interesting to see just how they all fall and how, you know, who's in the best 11. Because, I mean, you just couldn't say who's in Australia's best T20 11, because they just haven't played enough T20s to know. You know, if you ask someone on the street who's in Australia's T20 11, I mean, it's anyone's guess, really.
Yeah, and you sort of look at the squad that has been picked, and Aaron Finch, there was a bit of an injury cloud surrounding Aaron Finch, the captain, heading into this series. And the other one, and to Bryce's point in Australia's strategy of getting the innings started in the first six overs, a big part of that is going to be David Warner, who will most likely open. But do you have faith in the cattle that Australia has with Finch and whatever niggling injury he does have, and also David Warner, and he's much spoken about form at the moment? Is there faith that Australia will actually get those T20 innings off to a great start with those at the top of the order?
I think Finch and Warner, over a pretty long period of time, have shown themselves to be very, very good international T20 players. And you've got Glenn Maxwell there as well, who can open if need be. I think, not that I expect him to do so on this occasion, but I think, Warner, you know, go back a long time now, he made his debut in the T20 scene, and that's sort of where he made a name for himself. And Finch, I think it's been the format where he's been the most consistent and the least and the most resistant to form slumps. So I back both of them in to perform. Generally, David Warner, even when he's not making runs overseas in Test cricket, as he clearly did in England, generally in white ball cricket in Australia, he's a very, very consistent performer. So I think in these conditions, they'll suit him. And likewise, Finch. I'm more intrigued as to how the middle order stacks up. I think McDermott and Ben McDermott and Ashton Turner and even Steve Smith, to a degree, I think are all relatively unproven quantities in international T20 cricket. They've all sort of shown, let's say Smith in recent years, but certainly Turner and McDermott have done reasonably well at Big Bash level. But
yeah,
whether they can convert that to the international stage remains to be seen. They sort of tried that with Chris Lynn and Darcy Short, who are both openers and big hitters, and they haven't quite come off. So whether these more specialised middle order players are able to do it is going to be very, very interesting.
Well, you mentioned Chris Lynn there, and reports during the week that he hadn't been contacted, that he was out of the team. So he certainly had some disappointment about not being notified. It's subsequently been cleared up by the chairman of selectors. He got in touch, and now he finds himself actually captaining a Cricket Australia 11 team. They're playing a T20 game with that Cricket Australia squad. I guess it's like a B squad or even a C squad that are going to play a game at Bankstown on Thursday against Pakistan and lead them into the T20 series that Pakistan will have with Australia. Chris Lynn, do you think he's unlucky not to be in that top order? Because it doesn't appear that we have a lot of those top order dashes straight away.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's funny with Lynn. He's sort of become, because he's not contracted to Queensland, because he's not playing any cricket for Queensland, so he's not going to miss it. They don't have to pull him out of any field games, so he becomes sort of a very easy goalkeeper player for these tour matches that are on at the same time as a Shield and Marsh Cup game. So, like, we saw him in the Prime Minister's 11 game the other week, and then you touched on the CA 11 game against Pakistan. I mean, just quickly go back on the point about Trevor Holmes and the communication. I mean, he wasn't in the team to start with. I mean, he'd been dropped a while ago, and to score and say you're still on the team, I think, is probably a bit much, given that Trevor Holmes, you know, his phone's always there anyway.
Yeah.
He has played a fair bit of T20 international cricket for Australia, and his record is not all that flash. You're right, though, he is one of these few guys who has proven at domestic level consistently that he can go big, and you sort of think, well, it would be a shame if he didn't get at least one more crack at it. I think the other issue that hurts him is his fielding. He's had you feel for him because he's had this these long-standing issues with his body and the shoulders, and he's a bit of a liability in the field. And they are very keen to ensure that the fielding is a top priority. Aaron Finch touched on that as much today. You've got Ashton Turner, who's actually coming back from a shoulder surgery in the off-season, and he's a little bit limited for this series. He wasn't throwing overarm at training yesterday, and he'll probably remain within that 30-metre ring. But they are very keen to ensure that that guys playing are up to it from a fielding perspective, and that's probably where Lynn that works against him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So what can you expect? What's a prediction for you tomorrow after maybe burgling a few views at the Sri Lankans? I know it was a closed session, but I know you have your ways, Dan. You would have kept an eye on them. And after hearing their skipper talk later on, well, what are your predictions for tomorrow at the Adelaide Oval?
It is so hard to predict from a T20 perspective, especially given how rarely Australia has actually played. I think given the quality on paper in the Australian team, I would back Australia in. But you know, that's not with a huge amount of conviction, because I just think, as I said, it's, first of all, T20 cricket is doesn't take a lot for things to go awry, and we just haven't seen that much of it. And Sri Lanka have just come back from Pakistan, where they had a good series win over there.
Yes,
it's a very young Sri Lankan side. Not a lot of names that I imagine most of Australian audiences will be too familiar with, other than Malinga, who is captaining them. But and they have shown in the past, Sri Lanka, that they've been a pretty handy limited overs team in Australia. So they beat Australia. Must have been three summers ago, when it was that sort of BBL All Stars team in a couple of thrilling games in Melbourne and Geelong, where they won on the last ball. So I predict Australia to win, but I think it'll be an interesting contest and just a lot of intrigue around the Australian team, because it's that they are such an unknown quantity.
A lot of added importance, obviously, with the T20 World Cup coming up next year. So a couple of T20s to start off the summer against Sri Lanka and then into Pakistan. Dan Journey will be there following it all. Thank you very much, Dan, for joining us this afternoon on Stumps, and I'm sure we'll speak to you soon over the course of the summer.
Pleasure, Jordan and Bryce. Have a good one.
Dan Journey there from The Age, travelling around the country following the tests and the international scene. Jordan Kanellis and Bryce McGain with you here on Stumps. We'll come back on the other side of this, and following off the back of that, we'll look towards the domestic season in the form of some of our Australian players heading into the international summer, and also just what's been happening around the One Day Cup and the Sheffield Shield, and also WBBL chat later on. Plenty of matches on today and across the weekend. This is Stumps right across the country.
G'day, Mike Hussey here. Get on board Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. It's fun, free and easy to play. Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.